Since this is the last night of the gospel meeting, let me take just a few moments to express my deepest appreciation to the congregation for the invitation to be invited this week and to be engaged in this series of gospel meetings. You have been very attentive listeners. The word of God has been proclaimed. You have embraced that. You've been very complimentary toward me and toward the lessons, and I do sincerely appreciate that. Thank you to the elders of the church here for their confidence in me as a gospel preacher, that I would indeed preach the word of God and encourage and exhort and edify those of you who have been so attentive listeners this particular week. Another thing that I would like to express appreciation for is your goodness toward my son Austin, his wife Jessica, and of course their family. I have a vested interest in their spiritual welfare because they are family. And his role as a gospel preacher, I appreciate your support of him and of the family. You're good to them. I appreciate that. They in turn love you. And I've told him on more than one occasion, Austin, love the brethren, preach the truth, and you can stay here for 50 years. And he tells me that he intends to do that. So may God continue to bless him and Jessica and the children, their family. And we sincerely appreciate your support of them. I have had the privilege over the years for close to 40 years to preach the gospel and to be engaged in the public ministry as an evangelist of the gospel with various congregations of the Lord's people. And I'm often asked a question, Brother Wiggins, could you relate an event to us? Many things have happened to me over the years. Some have been sad, some have been tragic, some have been funny, some have been embarrassing. And so I would like to relate one event that took place that probably goes down as the most embarrassing moment in my life as a gospel preacher. And as I relate this particular story to you, you can have a good laugh, and the laugh will be on me. Several years ago, there was a young man that moved into the community in which I was a member of the church, of a local congregation. And he was a few years older than myself, and we got to be good friends. And he met a young woman in the congregation, and they started dating. I knew this woman, this girl. I knew her dad. He was a deacon in the church, her mother. I'd gone to school with her sisters. I knew the family well. And knew the bride that he was to have in the not too far future. They set the day of engagement and planned the wedding day, the wedding ceremony. He asked me to be best man at the wedding, of which I was more than happy to do. A couple of weeks prior to the wedding, he drives up to the house and asked me to get in the vehicle with him. He wanted to go order the groom's cake and wanted me to go with him as a part of the experience as being the best man. I was not really thrilled about that, but I decided to do it anyway. So I go to him down to the bakery, and he's speaking to the woman who's standing behind the counter, and she has a pen and pad in hand, and she's taking notes in regard to the groom's cake that he is in the process of ordering. He says, I want a big chocolate cake with chocolate icing, and on top of that chocolate icing and white icing, I want written from the Bible where it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. He says, I want you to look that particular verse up in the King James Bible, and I want you to write it on the cake. So she's writing all of this down, and he looks to me, and he says, Brother Wiggins, he said, where is that particular passage? And I said, Genesis 2:25. So she writes down Genesis 2:25 and assures him that she will look that particular passage up in the King James Version of the Bible and write it on the cake, on the groom's cake. It was not until later that I realized that I had not given the correct verse. I should have given Genesis 2:24, which says, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. I had given Genesis 2:25, which says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Enough of that. Let's go right into the sermon, okay? Whosoever should be ashamed of me and of my words, him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, the glory of the Father, and of the holy angels. I'm reading there from Luke chapter 9 and verse number 26. Jesus here anticipates a potential situation where people might be ashamed of him, his person, his mission, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. Everything that Jesus did and taught and stood for in his public ministry, it might be the case that some would be ashamed of who the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is. Not only that, but notice he says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. That is what Jesus taught, the doctrine, the divine revelation that composes really the New Testament for us today. It may be the case that some would think about being ashamed of our Lord and what our Lord taught. And so Jesus anticipates the dire consequences of that. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Jesus says, I want you to know this. When the Son of Man comes, the Son of Man in turn will be ashamed of that individual when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and all the holy angels with him. I want you to appreciate the fact that being ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to be embarrassed in regard to who he is and what he stands for and what he teaches. And really that stands for the system or a system of and the religion of New Testament Christianity. We can never, ever, ever, ever find ourselves in a situation, a circumstance, a context, or an occasion where we should be embarrassed or ashamed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of who he is and what he taught. And Jesus says, if that is the case, if someone finds themselves in that situation, and that's the choice that they make in regard to their relationship with the Lord, know that I, in turn, will be ashamed of him at the second coming. To be ashamed of someone at the second coming on the Lord's part has to do with utter rejection.